Welcome to the Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Britt.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about our time riding around in croakers' mouths and hoarding gems in Rogue Heroes Ruins of Tassos.
Nice. Hoarding gems, I like it.
Do you even know what a croaker is?
Yes, it's the frog.
Yay! You remembered. You paid attention to the story for once. This
is your new favorite mount in any game.
It really, truly is, and I'm really, really excited to talk about it later on. But first, I want to give a shout-out to our most recent review that we got, because it's a really fun one. You actually told me about it this morning, I think when you were half asleep in bed. You're like, hey, babe, we got a really cool review.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, I don't think I sounded super old like that, though.
I don't know why I gave you the voice of, like, a 90-year-old. Sorry. But shout-out to JL Singer. I think that's how I say your name. I'm going to butcher your name regardless. Anyway, the review said, Britt is apparently not responsible for reining in the silliness, which is a hilarious struggle to listen to. But honestly, you can already see her growing into it. You're doing great. Because this person listens to WGG. And typically on that show, I'm like the crazy, you know, wild. Ah!
There might be people... I mean, maybe, who don't know what WGG is, though.
Oh, I doubt that. Everybody listened to this. So, What's Good Games? It's our weekly podcast. It's my main podcast that I helped co-found. But
yeah, I'm just your side bitch.
But it's fun because it's kind of fun for me for everyone to see our dynamic. Because obviously I've talked about you on What's Good since day one, I feel like.
Yep.
And then they go on to say, Jason knows exactly as little about the story of games as Britt always said. I always thought she was exaggerating, but nope. Because like I said, you don't pay attention to the narrative in most games that we play.
I'm just here to kill shit.
Yeah. So it's always fun.
I learn as much about the narrative of the story, like as we're recording every show, as you, the listener, know about it. So, yeah. There we go. I've just killed a lot of shit.
He doesn't know why. That's why I was surprised you know what a croaker is. But anyway, thank you so much to JL Singer for this review. And thank you to everybody for the reviews on iTunes. They're really fun. And as you're finding out, they make our day. So Rogue Heroes Ruins of Tassos, released on February 23rd, 2021. This was not a review copy. It is an action-adventure RPG roguelite. It is rated E10+. The developer is actually a small studio consisting of two people at Heliocentric Studios.
Wow, just two people.
Just two people. Props. They've been working together for a while, and they've released a few other games, but this is their most ambitious project yet. It is published by Team 17. It is on Nintendo Switch and PC. It supports local and online co-op up to four players, and it is $19.99 on Steam and Nintendo Switch. So let us go into the plot overview of what Rogue Heroes Ruins of Tassos is. I have a confession. Okay. I can never remember the name of this game.
We've just been calling it Hammerwatch because it's so similar. Well, we'll get it. We'll get more into that.
I want to say it's so similar, but I don't know. For some reason, I can never remember the name of this game.
Me neither.
I was trying, when I was pulling the show notes together, I was searching for Dungeon Heroes. I was searching for Dungeon Rogue Heroes, and I could never find it, but I found it.
So
anyway,
it's Rogue Heroes.
Ruins of Tassos.
Ruins of Tassos. Okay.
Correct. All right. Plot overview time. A dark evil stirs beneath the once peaceful land of Tassos. Deep within the four great dungeons, the ancient seals that hold the titans at bay are gravely weakened, and their minions have unleashed terror upon the world. The goddesses who forged the seals long ago have made a desperate plea for a band of heroes to come forth and save the people from a terrible fate. Remember that death is not the end. Rise again, upgrade your hero, and venture out once more, stronger than before.
So TLDR, kill four bosses, save the world.
God, you know, when you put it that way, where's your flair for the dramatic, Demers? All right, so let's kind of set the stage for what Rogue Heroes Ruins of Tassos is. And every time I have to say the title, I have to look at the top of my Google Doc because I can never remember. Oh boy. All right, so this is a retro SNES era style graphics game, top-down look, think of A Link to the Past.
Yep.
And a lot of people who have been talking about this game and have reviewed this game have compared it to A Link to the Past. And there's a reason for that, is because aesthetically it does look a lot like it.
It does. And I love that about it. It's bright and it's colorful, and it has that nostalgic feel to it that I really, really, really like.
So you start off by choosing your class, and you're given the hero class at the very beginning, but there are other classes that you can unlock by acquiring thread and bringing it to, I don't know what she's called, the seamstress?
Something like that.
I don't know. So anyway, you'll just basically have access to one class at the very beginning, which is your hero class. And each class is distinct by their different attack, armor, and speed amounts. So, like, those are the three main things that each class has.
They each have a unique class ability, too.
And a unique class ability as well. So, some of the classes are hero, thief, knight, mage, witch, pirate, ranger. I think the Reaper is in there, too, that you and I just unlocked,
We just unlocked it, yeah.
Yeah. And so, when you start off the game, you know, because Jason and I are playing local, obviously, you are all on the same screen, and you pick your class, you wake out of bed, and then you go on to your first adventure. Which is your first procedural dungeon. But you wake up in this town of sorts, and it's all woodsy.
Got like two buildings in it when
you
wake up.
It's got like two buildings in it. And the idea is that you go through these dungeons, you hoard all of these gems, and you do not lose them when you die, which is really, really important, especially for me, because I typically don't like roguelikes or roguelites. But I think I'm finding, like with Heroes of Hammerwatch in this as well, that if there's certain elements to them, I'm totally into it. Anywho, you gather these gems and then you go to your town, you upgrade the town, blah, blah, blah. But we'll like deep dive into that in a little bit. So you wake up, you make your way to your first procedural dungeon. But first, I think this would be a good time to kind of talk about the map. Because
yeah.
It's not just you wake up, you step outside of your little village, you go to a portal, and then you're at the dungeon. It's like this big open map, very Link to the Past-esque.
Yeah, it looks a lot like it. And yeah, you move through the overworld. There's enemies that are sort of on the screen, just Link to the Past-like, you know, for you to attack and pick up loot from. On the way, you'll encounter little side quests or NPCs that you can talk to here and there and little sort of
abandoned
side
towns and shit.
Yeah, little side activities and shit. And this game really does have, we keep saying Link to the Past, and I think that's sort of a fair visual comparison and also just overall feel to it.
Yeah, I would say take a Link to the Past, add co-op, add roguelite elements to it.
Yes.
And you have a pretty good visual / feeling of what this game really is and
right.
how it plays. Right. There's some different thing. Well, actually, how it plays is pretty similar too. So again, like the idea is that you go through these dungeons. There's four main dungeons in total. You collect gems, you die, you repeat, you hoard your gems, you use your gems to upgrade your character, blah, blah, blah. But let's talk a little bit about the dungeons themselves. So each dungeon has three levels, and on the third level is the boss level. To get to the boss, you have to get a
boss key.
Wow. I love that, though.
And to get through locked doors in the dungeons, you have to find
a key.
Yes.
Oh, we're so good at this.
And there's puzzles, and they involve things like lighting.
Oh, like lighting torches.
Torches and moving
switches.
And pillars.
Pillars, yeah.
If this is ringing any bells.
Yeah, then it's pretty great. So obviously, you know, you have your three floors, and each floor consists of, oh, I don't know, would you say 5 to 6 different kinds of rooms, depending on the, it's all procedurally generated, so it's just going to depend on like what roll the dice you get for that dungeon run itself. But each room has hand-designed puzzles, different layouts, different traps, different enemies. And you go in a room, like you said, you might have to light all the light all the torches, or maybe hit switches in a specific order, or defeat all of the enemies, or carry an orb from point A to point B, which is very fragile.
Yeah, and you know, you have to go through obstacles and so on to do it.
You know what else is really fragile? My skull when I die. So hold on. I want to talk.
Wait, are we still are you still heated over this?
You were so careless. Okay, so when you die in this game, friends, and again, this is a reason why I'm really enjoying this, is let's say I die. And what happens is you become a little ghost. And there are some things you can do as a ghost. Like you can throw pots at enemies. You can manipulate traps a little bit, like the arrow traps.
But
what happens is you become a ghost, and then all that remains of your physical being is your skull. Now, throughout these levels and throughout the rooms, you'll come across randomly these shrines. And if Jason were to carry my skull like the delicate flower that it is and gently place it on the shrine, he can resurrect me. This would thus shatter the shrine, but I would come back to life.
Yeah,
I mean, would in theory, but you know, let's talk about all the ways that you've destroyed my skull, because the skull is also very fragile. You threw it into lava.
Yeah.
And it submerged.
It simmered.
And it bubbled and it gurgled.
It bubbled and gurgled and submerged. Yep.
You threw it into an inaccessible area.
And there was, remember that time I threw it into the wall and it literally got stuck
in
the wall?
That's what I'm talking about. And my poor skull could never be recovered. And then you just threw it in general a lot. And then it gets all these cracks on it. You threw it at a boss as a weapon. Yes.
Well, I needed projectiles, and at that point, I didn't have anything, but I did have your skull, and it is throwable.
And then my skull literally disintegrated.
It broke.
It didn't even break. It just disintegrated into a pile of dust.
To be fair, I beat that boss.
You did. I will
and
give
then
you,
you respond after I beat
oh
the boss.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway, yeah, so regardless if I'm dead or not, Jason can continue to collect gems, which are acquired through defeating enemies, unlocking chests, opening pots, breaking pots, and I still get the gems.
Yeah.
So that's really good. So you're really not penalized for dying. Like, I can't think of any way you're penalized. Besides, you have to start the dungeon over again.
Yeah, that's really it. And even that, you can buy little fast passes to different levels of the dungeon by spending gems. So it's really, it's pretty forgiving.
And that's why I like it so much, is because you still make progress. It's not a True Blue roguelike where you die and lose everything.
Yep.
So as you are going through these dungeons and as you play the game, you're going to unlock a vast array of tools. You have the boomerang, you have a grappling hook, a wand, a hammer,
a bow.
And
you, a shovel, like, there's various other little tools.
And there's a lot of RPG mechanics to this, so we'll try not to, like, get too in the weeds with all of them. But essentially, as you defeat monsters, you get monster parts, and then you can use those monster parts to buy these tools that we just mentioned. But if you don't have them, what's going to happen is while you're in the dungeon, you're going to get glass versions of these.
Yeah.
Which basically mean that, you know, you use them, they break.
They break on death.
They break on death. And then you don't get to keep them permanently, but you will be able to unlock them permanently as you acquire more monster parts and go to the appropriate shop and unlock them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's basically the game saying, like, look, if you haven't unlocked the permanent versions of this, but you really need it for this dungeon, then here you go. Here's, like, a temporary version for you. So
okay, so you've gone through the dungeon, you've died a few times, you've acquired gems, you go back to your village, you beef up your character, you get stronger, you go to the dungeon, you finally defeat the boss, then that's kind of the gameplay loop.
That's pretty much it. I mean, and then, yeah, and then it's not just like you go to the next dungeon after that. There's a bunch of side shit. So, you know, what are some examples? You know, we found like an abandoned ghost town. We found like a cemetery where there's like a dungeon of its own, but
we
it's not.
We found some girlfriend's stranded boyfriend with an epic beard who had sailing and crashed.
And there's different terrain and topography. There's like a swamp. There's like a volcanic magma area.
Magma.
There's like a foresty
Evil
area.
Austin Powers. Sorry, I had to get that in there.
Oh, you get that in. What else? There's like a snowy area. There's water. You can swim around in the water.
And the colors are very bright and
vibrant. And happy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. But let's say like you're on the struggle bus and you can't defeat your boss. What you do then, like let's say the boss is like kicking your ass hardcore, kicking it up and down, left and right, diagonal. Okay, I'm getting carried away with that.
We're saying that.
What you can do then is after you leave the dungeon, you take all the gems you've accrued, you don't lose any of the gems you've accrued, and you go to your town and you can upgrade your town to include buildings like a weaponsmith, a clinic, a tool shop, a farm. And that's where you can beef up your character.
Yeah.
So you take your gems and you can increase your health. You can increase the damage you do with your weapon. And that's how you get better. And
your mana,
that's how the dungeon runs each time, get easier and easier until you're able to go in and just kick ass.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's more or less like the main gameplay loop. There's a few issues we have though with some of the classes in particular. So even though I just mentioned all those classes, Thief, Knight, Mage, Witch, Pirate, Reaper, Ranger, and although their stats are slightly different from one another, and even though they all have their own special action, whether it's like blink if you're a mage, right?
Yeah, which means, is like a teleport, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a knight, which is what I am, the big tank, it's a slam attack, a slam ability, etc. There's really not a lot of class-specific abilities.
Yeah.
It, on one hand, there's a lot of skill trees because all the tools have their own skill trees for the most part. But the characters, the classes themselves do not. Every class can access the sword. Every class can access the wand, the bow, everything.
Yes.
So it's kind of, this is like the one thing I think this game is missing, is you as a mage in particular had some issues with this.
Yeah, I always play a ranged character, usually a mage, sometimes a ranger in games like this. And of all the games that I've played, that we've played like this, this was probably the least enjoyable time that I had playing a ranged character.
You're playing as a knight now, actually.
I actually finally just said, fuck it. And I have been playing for a knight, as a knight for the past couple of play sessions, because the game just, it does not have a rewarding or a satisfying experience as a ranged character, which makes me sad because I really want to play a ranged, and I really tried. I played ranger and mage, and it just, it wasn't working out. Like, it just wasn't fun. You can't really control the projectiles well. They don't do much damage, and you get penalties for playing a ranged character. Like, you take way more damage and stuff.
Which is usually only the case if that character is a glass cannon.
Right, and these are not glass cannons. Like, the sword does way more damage than the projectiles do. And to further kind of frustrate me, you are limited in terms of ammo. And there are buffs you can get that sort of mitigate that, but I wasn't able to mitigate that enough to where I was still running out of ammo and finding myself frustrated. And so I eventually just said, fuck it, and switched over to knight. And so now we're both playing as a knight, and we're dominating. Like, it's way more fun because
we're finishing dungeons in our first run.
Yeah. I feel like the game is just, it's probably just not balanced that well.
So maybe like a balance patch.
I think it does need a balance patch. And the ranged characters, they need something unique. Their projectiles are literally just straight shooting little, like, you know, just pixels. Like, it's not anything cool and fun. I remember when we did Hammerwatch. Do you remember that? And I had my spinny doom ball of death.
So that's,
it
I think,
so
the,
cool.
The main difference here is that there are no class-specific spells or abilities.
No,
I think that's what we're trying to say, is even though you're going to play as a mage, the one thing the mage does get, though, is you get the different runes, but you weren't really impressed by that. Essentially, you have your wand, and then you acquire these runes by exploring, which is, it's so fun to explore and find stuff in this game.
But, it is, yeah.
You got, a magic missile, a fireball, an ice ball.
There's a couple other runes we haven't found yet, too, but there's only 5 runes total. And of the 3 we've found, I've just been sort of, you know, unimpressed
by them. And so I think what really would have just been like a fucking knocked it out of the park would have been if there was a spell system.
Yeah.
But instead, I think it's kind of confusing. There's skill trees, again, for like your boomerang. You can upgrade that, or your bow.
But all it really does is it just makes it more fly faster or do more damage. It doesn't make it do something visually cool or unique.
And again, to reiterate, you know, every class uses the sword. Every class can use the wand. Every class can use the bow.
Right.
It's just some classes might have a bit more of advantage using that item than the other.
Like the mage class, according to the description of the class, says that the mage does more damage with it when using the wand. But honestly, I didn't notice any damage difference when I was using the wand as a mage versus as a knight. Like, it literally seemed to do the same amount of damage. So I'm kind of puzzled. Maybe that's a bug. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, what I would say is, if you're listening and you're like, well, I really prefer to play a ranged character, the game actually does melee combat really well, I think.
It's fun.
You're more of a melee player, you can tell me. But I actually am having plenty of fun playing as a melee. I did try as a ranged character, and it just wasn't there for me. And this is probably the first game I can remember where I had to give up on trying to play a ranged class because it just wasn't fun enough.
Spells to unlock and look forward to.
Yeah,
I mean, the melee combat is super fun. I mean, it's essentially you have your shield, you have your sword, you push a button to swipe. But when you do go to the tool shop or the blacksmith, to upgrade it, you know, you can upgrade, again, like we were saying, your crit damage, your crit hit, your reach.
Yep.
And because I've been building a tank since day one, I got a pretty beefy tank here. But that's another point, is it's because Jason has tried many different classes. He never was building a tank from day one. He tried to build a good mage, so he wasted. Spent a lot of your gems trying to build a ranger.
Boosted my mana. Boosted my wand damage.
That is kind of a fun thing, though, is that you can try all the classes. And and I, we haven't talked about this. We've done 3 out of the 4 dungeons.
Yep.
We've explored, I would say, like 80% of the map, and I was going somewhere with that. I don't remember where I was going. I was making a point. I just completely lost it.
It's all good.
It's gone.
It happens.
It's gone. But I guess like that would be a good segue to talk about the world exploration, which we touched on a little bit.
Yeah.
So what's really fun about this is, like I said, you're playing the game, you unlock all of these tools and whatnot, and then you can use those tools to access areas that you wouldn't be able to before.
Yeah, like you can hookshot across, you know, broken bridges to get to the other side if you have the hookshot.
Or if you see like some pegs sticking out of the ground and you finally get your hammer, then you know you have to go back and do that.
You can hammer that peg out of your way.
You can hammer it and go explore and go find things. Yep. And like you said, we found the mausoleum this way, which has like, it's like, oh, was it 15 stages?
Yeah, it's like waves of progressively harder rooms of enemies.
Where you're trying to save a ghost. Where you're trying to help a ghost save his family, which is like they're all already
and they're
dead,
all ghosts
bro.
Also.
Yeah, I don't know what you want us to do for you here.
Yeah.
There's little towns we found. We found lots of caves, which, you know, you can tell it's a cave because there's a crack in the wall.
And you bomb the wall.
Yeah. And then you can go in there and you find these little dudes named power, these old dudes named, these little power sphere things. And what they're good for is every time you enter a dungeon again, like let's say you leave a dungeon with 1,000 gems, you spend 900 of them, you still have 100 left because there's quite frankly nothing you can buy for $100 anymore. Mm-hmm. It's worth noting, unless you have a lot of these power spheres, you're going to lose all 100 of those the next time you enter another dungeon.
Yep.
So like if you don't use it, you lose it, essentially. And that's what those are for. Those are, I would say, like the biggest treasure in the game. Like that, instead of like finding heart pieces and other things, like that's more or less what you're looking for.
I get the feeling they're kind of like gold scatolas. They just feel like they're hidden throughout the overworld.
Scultola?
Oh, hold on. Scultola. We have a debate now. Gold scatolas.
Scatola? Who the fuck says scatola?
I say that.
Gold scatola.
What do you say?
Aren't you just Mr. Fancy?
Wait, what do you say?
Oh, I'm from Jason Demers. I'm French and I'm fancy. Scatola.
It's like the first two L's are silent. Scatola.
Gold scultola.
Scultola? I've never heard anybody say scultola before.
Friends, we get little bickers over Ocarina of Time, whatever.
Okay, when I was a kid, I said ocarina. And now as an adult, I've heard that the correct pronunciation is ocarina.
You're supposed to say ocarina, but like, fuck that.
Well, everybody said ocarina.
I say kokiri for it.
I say kakairi.
See, you're getting me riled up. We can't go down this path.
Kakairi.
Kokiri and scultola. Anyway, I want to take a second and talk about my favorite part of this game.
All right.
You know what it is. He doesn't know what it is.
Oh, yeah, I know what it is.
It's the croakers.
The croakers. Oh,
so one of the little items that you find in this game, and this is totally random and really has little importance to this entire episode, but I have to give it a shout out, is you get this little like frog flute, and you get to summon these big toads, and then you hop in their mouths.
There go your twinkle fingers again. They're all out. They're out as far as they can go.
The air right now.
You got the Y from YMCA going on.
You get to hop in their mouths, and then they carry you around. And the happiest fucking music plays.
Doot, doot, doot.
Doot, doot, doot. Oh, it makes me so happy. I don't know. I just got to give a shout out to the croakers because they are my favorite part of this game.
Your feet were dancing along to that little tune the whole time we were playing. Oh, yeah. They got to work out.
Oh, man. Okay. We got off the rails.
With that said, we talk about the music in this game a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So I love music in games. It really, really
It will make or break a game for you sometimes.
It really will. As a matter of fact, there was one game that we started playing it and could have wound up as a show, as an episode here, but it did not because we had to put the game down because the music was so bad.
Yeah, actually, like that was the game we were going to do, but then we did Heroes of Hammerwatch instead.
Yeah, it was literally like it killed the episode. It killed the game for us. Anyway, so the music in this game, I would say, is pretty mediocre overall, but I really love the swamp music, and the croaker music was really, for me, it was fun to see you loving the croaker music. The swamp music, though, is really catchy, and it's fun, and it's upbeat. It's like, it's almost like they put all their budget into, like, the swamp area music.
Oh, it's two dudes working on it.
No, I know. Look, I'm giving them credit. We're doing a show on their game because the game fucking rocks. It's awesome. We had a great time with it. Their credit is where credit is due, but As an objective observer player, the music was mediocre overall, except for the fun music in the swamp. That's what I have to say.
I would say, for me, I don't put so much emphasis on the music in games. Like, I agree. Like, if it's really happy music, then cool. Like, you'll get my feet dancing with it. I would say overall, like, it's good music. It's nothing exceptional. Some of the croaker music and the swamp music was fun. Some of the other music just doesn't seem to fit. It's a little too gloomy in some
areas.
Yeah,
kind of dark and gloomy.
Yeah,
and
which like, doesn't really fit with like its bright and vibrant vibe. But
yeah, the game is more like it's kind of like a happy-go-lucky game that doesn't really seem to take itself seriously, at least not in the writing or anything like that.
Right.
And so when you have this dark, gloomy music, it doesn't quite match, and it kind of saps the bright, cheery feeling out of the game, which is...
I can just sing to you instead.
Please.
Oh, I'm trekking through the woods. Oh, I'm trekking through the woods. Oh, my God, here's a bush. I'm going to whack it.
Panic whack it?
No, God. Okay. One criticism I also wanted to bring up is, I've mentioned many times, the tools that you use in this game. Mm-hmm. What would have really, really helped is if there would have been a radial menu that you could bring up to select from these tools on a whim. Because right now, the way it is, you have to use the shoulder buttons to cycle through them, which is frustrating, especially if one moment you need the grappling hook and the next moment you need the hammer, but you want to use the bow to attack the skeleton that's coming your way or whatever. And so just like a little radial menu would have been very much appreciated. Not a huge deal, but just like a little pro tip in case someone's listening who worked on the game. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, just in case.
Yeah, I agree. The game really just, I don't know, final thoughts. Like, it just really excels at melee combat. It does not at ranged combat. I'd love to see a patch or something where they focus some attention and some love on ranged combat. I'd love to see a skill tree where the classes can have more unique abilities and really like cool.
So you mean class-specific skill trees?
Yeah,
is what
class-specific skill trees. Like
those are non-existent.
Right. You have like item-specific skill trees, but those skill trees really just kind of add numbers to the stats. They don't do anything new, different, or interesting, from what I could tell.
But other than like those complaints, though, I just really want to give a shout out to the developers and this game in general. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. I think this is some of the most fun I've had with a roguelite before. I mean, Heroes of Hammerwatch was also, we had a great time with that game.
Yeah, we sure did.
And obviously that game excelled in some areas where I think this one didn't, and vice versa. But the cheery vibe, the Link to the Past vibes, like I think these are some of my favorite levels in a roguelite because they are so... Oh, and this is the other thing. I didn't bring this up. I meant to say it. The game scales to the amount of players you have
in
your party, because we were wondering about that, friends, because there was a very specific puzzle that you and I were noodling on. Like, how would you do this if you're just a single player?
Yeah.
But you couldn't, because the game sees how many people you have playing.
So the dungeons actually do take into consideration the number of players.
Exactly.
Okay, I didn't know
which
that.
Which is a really, really cool feat. Anyway, for just being a two people dev team who haven't made like a ton of games, this is an incredibly impressive roguelite, and I'm happy to see that it is getting some love online. Not as much as I think it's deserving of, and I think it's at like a 78 on Metacritic, which is actually really good. And I think Switch is a perfect platform for it. A lot of fun to pick up. And it's not too difficult because, again, like you fail, you just get stronger, you go back.
Yeah. Would you say
gonna fail, but...
Would you say that this game is like Link to the Past had a baby with Hammerwatch or Heroes of Hammerwatch?
It's so hard to compare anything to a Link to the Past unless you're just comparing it kind of from a visual perspective.
More like visual and gameplay.
Yeah.
Not story or like engagement.
Because the story in this game is pretty weak, but that's okay. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's fine. Like, this is more centered on the gameplay and the roguelite features. Yeah, I mean, from like a purely like visual perspective and kind of like more or less how you play it. Yeah, gameplay and how the screen moves and how you have all these tools at your disposal. Like, yes, and how you can break pots and bushes, etc.
Bomb walls with cracks in them and
switch
puzzles, light torches, all those kinds of elements.
Yeah,
very familiar.
And I feel like what's really cool about this too is it wouldn't be too chaotic if you had four people playing this.
No, as a matter of fact, one thing I like about it is that the camera will actually zoom out the farther your two characters get away from each other. I remember this one room in the magma dungeon where you and I were like as far away as we could get from each other, and we were almost like little dots on the screen.
It stretched really far.
The camera stretched so far back, but it allowed us to be on opposite ends of this super long like football field length room to hit switches on either end of it so we could like accomplish the puzzle.
Yeah. No, they really thought of a lot of stuff to make it convenient for cooperative gameplay. Yeah. And it's just a really fun game. So I would definitely recommend, like we started, we're recording this on a Friday. We started on Monday.
Probably Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you can, we've been playing a couple hours a night here and there.
Yeah, we've probably got, what, like 6, 8, 10 hours into it? Something like that?
Something like, maybe like 8-ish?
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
And probably with another 2 or 3, we could finish the game.
Yeah, probably. Point. And just exploring the world is fun, and discovering all the secrets is fun. And we're just having a really good time. And shout out to the Croakers. well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the K-Bop Show. If you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at contact@coopshow.com. You can find me on Twitter at BlondeNerd. Or you can go to coopshow.com to check out our website, look at pictures of our dog, and look at, you know, I always say, like, look at our other episodes. But if you're listening to this on Apple or something, you can see all of our other episodes.
So basically, if you're going to go to our website.
And here I am botching the fucking outro again. Why do I always do this? Anyway.
Separation anxiety. It's just, you don't want to say goodbye.
I don't want to leave you. I want to stay with you forever. Don't let go, Jack. Or something. Titanic reference.
I picked it up with the Jack thing.
Thanks. Yeah. All right, friends. We will see you next week.
Later.
Goodbye.